Hi, and welcome to this sample recording of a sample that demonstrates how to run ASP.NET vNext under Linux in Docker containers. I spent the last few days playing around with Docker and ASP.NET for an article for the German Windows Developer Magazine, and in this short video I want to summarize the sample that I describe in the article. So if you understand German and if you are interested in more details, maybe you should grab the latest issue of Windows Developer Magazine and read the details. But in this video I want to summarize, as I mentioned, the sample. The sample will be based, of course, on Linux, because Docker is currently only available on Linux. And to start from, I created a Linux machine here in Azure. It will just be my starting point, let's say the bootstrapping machine. It's a plain Ubuntu machine with nothing on it. The only thing I did is an apt-get update to make sure that everything is up to date. So, the first step for playing around with Docker is, of course, setting up a Docker environment. I could now install Docker directly in this virtual machine and work with it locally, but that's not the point that I want to make here. I want to add a Docker client and a Docker host and show you how to remotely manage the Docker host without ever logging in onto the host. So we need two virtual machines. They should be together in a VLAN. All of these things should run in Microsoft Azure, and we could now start to create our infrastructure here by hand, creating two Ubuntu servers, creating the VLAN, and so on. But let's do that a little bit smarter. And for that, I have created a script that demonstrates the use of Azure cross-platform commands. These Azure cross-platform commands can be used to automate the maintenance or creation of more complex Azure structures on macOS, Windows, and Linux. And yeah, that's the first thing that we will do in our bootstrapping machine. Let's set up the Azure cross-platform tools and use them to install our entire Docker sample environment. So let's start with the cross-platform tools. The cross-platform tools are available on GitHub, as you can see here, and if you scroll down a bit, you will see the installation instructions for Ubuntu. Let's follow these installation instructions. So the first thing is we have to install Node and NPM, as the Azure cross-platform tools are implemented in Node.js. So do a sudo apt-get qq for quiet, Node.js legacy npm, and later on we will use git too. So we'll do install, of course. So we will update our system and installing the necessary prerequisites to be able to install the Azure cross-platform tools using npm. Of course, installing these tools will take a few moments, and so I would like to use the time and walk you through the script that we will execute in a second to run to install our Ubuntu and Docker test environment. So let's switch to the script. The script can be found in my GitHub repository. Here you see the GitHub repository, Docker VS 2015 intro. And here you see the script, create demo environment. Let's take a look. The script starts with setting some variables, and one of the most important ones is the prefix here. So all of my machines, my VLANs, my storage accounts, and so on, they will be prefixed with Docker sample. If you want to run this example yourself in your infrastructure, you might choose a different prefix here, Docker sample, your name, or whatever, to make sure that the DNS, that server names are unique and you can create your infrastructure. Then we will do some echoes, some warnings, what the script does to the Azure subscription, and then comes the interesting part. Here you see the Azure cross-platform tools in action. Here you see how an affinity group is created, how a storage account is created, how a network, a VNet, is created. Then we'll create some SSH keys, so it is possible to open a remote SSH to a different server without having to enter the password. The next thing is especially interesting. Here we are creating a Linux client. This Linux client machine will act as the Docker client. So we will SSH into this machine and remotely manage our Docker host, which is the next virtual machine here. But note the word Docker here. So the cross-platform tools from Azure, they enable you to create a Linux VM, in this case Ubuntu, with Docker setup and configured out of the box, so we don't have to install it manually or create some certificates and so on. Everything is done by the cross-platform tools. Last but not least, you can uncomment these three lines, and then you will not only get two Linux machines, but you will also get a Windows machine. If you want to implement your own ASP.NET applications and use Visual Studio 2015 for that, create this virtual machine. It will be part of your VNet, and you can easily exchange data with the Linux machines, because I also install in the first Linux client here a Samba server, so with a file share, so you can easily store ASP.NET projects created here with this virtual machine with Visual Studio 2015 on it on the Linux server, so you can immediately create containers from it. So this is not part of my core sample, so I will not demonstrate this in this video, but if you replay the sample in your own infrastructure, hey, feel free to experiment with Visual Studio 2015 and Docker. So let's see how our server goes. Yes, fine. The necessary prerequisites are already there, so we can now install the client tools using npm, the Node Package Manager. This will again take a few more seconds. But only a few seconds, I promise. It's getting all the necessary things from the Node Package Manager, and here we are. Now we should have the Azure cross-platform tools, which enable us to automate the creation of our Linux machines in the next step. So let's try it. Clear the screen and try Azure. The first call always takes a few seconds, so don't worry. Subsequent calls will be faster. And the first thing, while we're waiting here, the first thing that we need to do to make the Azure cross-platform tools work for us is we have to connect them with our Azure subscription. And for that, we will need to download the Azure Publish settings. The Azure Publish settings, I will show you how that is done. Azure account. The Azure account command would offer us a possibility here with the download option to launch a browser to download the publish setting file. Unfortunately, here I don't have a browser because this is SSH text based only, so I already copied the URI that is opened here into my Internet Explorer, my local box, and just hit Control F5, and I will get file with the published settings in a second. Here it is. Let's save this file. Maybe save it to the desktop. Now, as you can see, I already did that for a previous sample session, so I will just overwrite this file so you see that I'm not cheating. Okay, I saved it. Now I need to transfer it somehow to my Linux box, and of course we would use SCP from Linux to Linux, but here we are on Windows, so we use WinSCP. How is the name of my virtual machine this time? It's Docker Management, so edit this one, change the name here, Docker MGMT, save it, and log in. Yes, here we are. So now we can have an Explorer. Here is the published setting file. copy it. Should be quite fast. And now it's here. Here's our published settings file. See it? So now with the next step, we can import it. And with this import, we connect our Azure cross-platform tools with the Azure subscription that I'm logged in this Internet Explorer session, so with my test subscription that I'm going to use throughout the rest of this Docker sample. So let's do the Azure account import, Azure subscription, and so on. Woohoo, here we are. So let's try an Azure account list to see whether we are connected with my Azure Pass subscription. That's the name of the subscription, and here it is. Great. We can also try to work now with the things that are inside of the subscription. We could, for instance, what could we do? Enumerate the networks. Azure Network VNet List. Will only take a few seconds, and then we'll see a list of all virtual networks. Should be only one or two. We'll see. Yeah, here we are. One is called DummyNet, and the other one is called Docker Management, and this is exactly the VNet that has been created for my virtual machine that I currently work with. So, seems that everything is working fine, so we can go to the next step and create automatically based on the script that I've shown you a few minutes ago. We can use that script now to set up the entire infrastructure that we need for the rest of the Docker sample. Let's do that. First, we need to get the script. I've shown you that the script is here on GitHub, so let's get it from there. Copy the URI of the repository. Feel free to get it from my repository. It's free and available for everyone. Create a directory for it. Initialize the Git repository. Pull it down. And here we are, you see. Create demo environment. This is exactly what I want, the script that I want to have. So let's try to execute it. And if the demo goats are smiling, after a short warning that you have already seen, the system tells me, or the script tells me, what it will do with my Azure subscription, I hit enter, and the script should start to create first our in this case, affinity group, and the next thing is the storage account, and so on and so on. It will take, I don't know, between 5 and 10 minutes to set up both virtual machines, to install the Sample server, to create the SSH certificates and things like that. I understand it's quite boring watching the shell creating our virtual machines and so on, so I will pause the recording for now, and I will be back in a few minutes as soon as Azure has finished creating our virtual machines, setting up our Docker environment, so we can start with the next examples. So see you in a few minutes. Welcome back to the recording. Azure has finished setting up our two Linux servers. You see, here we have the Docker Sample Linux client, and here we have the Docker Sample host. The Docker Sample host will also run the Docker daemon, and the Docker Sample Linux client does not run Docker in the background. We will just use it as the client for our host to remotely manage it. So let's connect to the Linux client. There is no need to connect to the host because Azure has set up Docker for us and it's ready to use. To make it easier to connect to the Linux client, I have created a small helper script. It's called Open Linux Client Shell. Let's call it Open Linux Client Shell, and it gives us remote SSL access to our Linux client. Okay, host name. You see, it's our Docker Sample Linux client. From there, we can start trying to work with our Docker host. Let's do that. Let's clear the screen and let's start with our first Docker examples. The first thing that we want to do is we want to try to simply connect from our client to our host. We don't need to go through the public IP address of Azure. We can use the internal IP address. Let's look it up. Here, the Docker sample host. Settings, IP addresses, and here we see this is the IP address the internal IP address of our Docker host. Let's use this one. So Docker is the name of the command with which we can use to connect to our Docker daemon. The next thing is --tls to inform the Docker client that it should use HTTPS to connect to our Docker server. This has been configured by Microsoft Azure out of the box. Next is the name of the host here with TCP/, then the IP address of our Docker host and the port 4243. That's the port that Azure is using by default for Docker here. And then we'll do just an info command. Let's see if the connection works. And yes, perfectly, it works. We could successfully connect from our Docker client to the Docker host. So let's use this successful connection to run a brand new Ubuntu, a brand new Bash shell in a brand new Ubuntu container. We want to have an interactive shell and redirect TTI to TTY to our connection here. Use the Ubuntu base image and create a Bash shell. Let's try that one. What you see here is the Docker server noticing that it doesn't have the Ubuntu latest image, the base image. It's a kind of packaging format for Docker. The base image has not been downloaded already, so it has to get the Ubuntu base image from the internet, and this is what you currently see here. Don't worry, once the base image is on your machine, running and creating new Docker containers is a question of seconds, in many cases fraction of seconds, so that's extremely fast, much faster than with classical hypervisors. But the first call, as you see, takes a few moments to pull down the base image. And here we are. Here we have a brand new container. It's like a lightweight virtual machine, and it's completely new and fresh, and we could do some things here. We can see where we are, and we can execute some statements here, and if we're done with it, we can exit. And now the container has been stopped. Let's see if we can enumerate the images and find the base image for Ubuntu. But you know what? I get tired of entering this host name over and over again. So what we can do is we can set an environment variable, namely Dockerhost, to the IP address and the port, and from now on we can forget about the -h option for the Docker command. We can just say docker --tls images, for instance, to enumerate the images. And here you see it worked. Our Ubuntu image is on the Docker daemon, which is the Docker sample host Ubuntu server, so we can still successfully connect from the client to the server. If we say TLSPS, will not see any active containers because we already exited from our container, but we can specify the A option, and then we see all the containers, and we see that the container has exited about a minute ago. Let's copy the container ID and remove this container because we no longer need it. We could also remove the image, the Ubuntu image, if we no longer need it, but we will not do that because, of course, we will make use of this image in our next few samples. So, what have you seen already? You have seen how we can use the Azure cross-platform tools to automate the creation of more complex infrastructures in Azure. And these Azure cross-platform tools, they work on Windows, on macOS, and on Linux. The next thing was we connected to our Docker client and used the Docker command to connect from the client to our Docker daemon, which runs on the Docker server. And there we have already created a new bash shell on a fresh new Ubuntu container, and we could execute some statements, and you've seen some first statements how to manage your Docker environment. We remotely enumerated the images, we took a look at the running containers and things like that. So I think we can go on to the next bit more interesting example. The next example is namely hosting a web server, in our case the web server Nginx. Let me see. Google Nginx. This one. We will use the Nginx web server to host a very simple website, just the default.html. Let's create a directory for that, static web for instance, static web, here we are, and let's create a very simple HTML file, default HTML, and insert HTML, and body, and h1, hello from Docker container, h1, and body, and HTML. Save this one. Here we are. Now we could again use the Docker command line interface to start a brand new container, to install Nginx web server and things like that, but we don't want to do that because this is fine for small samples, for experimenting with Docker, but if you work with Docker in practice, you want to repeatedly be able to create containers based on standardized images. And the typical way of creating an image is by building a Docker file, which is a kind of a programming language to set up some rules that are executed by Docker to build images. Let's create such a Docker file. Here we are. The first statement in the Docker file is the from statement. And here we specify the base image. We could, for instance, say Ubuntu. This would be our base image. And here, now we could add some commands to install and set up the Nginx web server. But to be honest, we don't want to start from scratch. Wouldn't it be nice if we would have a base image that is ready-made with Nginx installed, ready to use? The fact, we're lucky. That's the case because Docker has one of the major features of Docker is the Docker Hub. It's a repository like GitHub, but this is not for applications, it's for images. It's for images that come with Docker out of the box. So let's see if there is an Nginx image, and it turns out that there is. Here it is. Of course, Nginx is a very popular web server, so they created a Docker file already. This Docker file installs Nginx and sets some parameters. You can take a close look after this video if you are interested in the details. But we are going to just use this Docker file, and we can also take a look at the documentation here. So let's base our image on the Nginx base image. The next one, we can do a run statement. For instance, let's do an apt-get update. And the last one could be a copy statement. The copy statement is able to transfer some files from our Docker client into the Docker host and from there into the image. We could, for instance, say copy all HTML files in the current context. The context is the current directory plus all subdirectories. So transfer all HTML files in the current context and copy it to the user share Nginx HTML directory inside the image, respectively the container. You see? Here in documentation, you could look up the path where the Nginx web server expects the HTML files to be stored. Okay, now we have created our Docker file. The question is, how can we get an image from the Docker file? And this is done doing the build command here. We give it a name, a so-called tag. Let's call it static web container. And then we specify the directory where the Docker file lives, and this is exactly in the local directory, and that's it. We don't have to do anything more. This will start the Docker daemon creating our image. I want to draw your attention to the first two lines here. It says sending build context to Docker daemon. What is that all about? Well, as I told you, the Docker context is the content of the current directory and subdirectories. and we have our default.html file in the current directory. So this is part of our context. It is transferred automatically from our Docker sample Linux client to the Docker daemon so that the Docker daemon can take our HTML files and put them into the image, so the image already contains the HTML files that should be part of our web server. That's the job of the context here. Now we can look at the rest of the Docker file. Docker has already finished to pull the Nginx base image, just the same with the Ubuntu image that we've seen a few moments ago. It needed to download the Nginx image because it wasn't on the machine, it was a fresh machine. And now the Docker daemon prepares our image, which is based on the Nginx image. The first thing that it does is the apt-get update, so we make sure that everything is nicely up to date. And finally, we have the copy statement, and the copy statement did something wrong, but that's fine. We can correct that one because I forgot the slash here at the end. Now watch what happens if I just issue the same statement, the same build statement again. The system will firstly not download the Nginx image again, but it will also skip the apt-get update statement here. That's because Docker is automatically caching the image after each step. As you might know, Docker is using an union file system where it has multiple layers sitting on top of each other, and only the changed files are copied from one layer to the other. And therefore, it has a cache. This cache contains all the different layers, and it detects that nothing has changed until this copy statement. So it uses the cached image here and just executed the last copy statement. This radically speeds up the creation of images in practice. So if we do a Docker TLS images again, we should see, yes, our static web container image, and the next step will be using the static web container image to set up a container in which we can run our Nginx web server. Let's try that. Let's do a Docker run. Oh, sorry. Minus minus TLS to make sure that HTTPS is used. Run. Let's give it a name. Name static web. And it should be based on the static web container. Oh, that was a stupid name. I named it static web container. It should have been called static web image and not container. Please, I'm sorry for that. But it doesn't make any difference. It will work, definitely. So, with that, we have a Docker container running on our Docker daemon. And let's look in the Docker daemon, if that's correct. Let's do a PS statement here, and yes, the Nginx web server is running, and it is using ports 443 and 80, but unfortunately, we cannot access it already, because these ports are only open inside of the Docker system, so we could add multiple containers, and they could share ports and things like that, but we cannot access this thing. Let me show you that. I do a curl HTTP, and the IP address, I have it here, our internal IP address with this one, let's try it, and connection refused. Okay, so this was not successful yet. Let's kill this container again. Docker TLS kill, and this is the container ID, and remove it. Docker, oh sorry, can't do that one, remove it. Okay. And restart it, but this time I'm going to also specify the -p option, and I will tell the system that it should map the Docker port 80 to the port 80 of our Docker host. Yep, let's see if it's running. Do a PS statement. Here it is. By the way, if you want to access the log of this container, you can do that by issuing the statement TLS logs with the container ID. Okay, log is empty, no error messages, so we could retry the curl statement again. Here it is, and democrats are smiling. Welcome to, default.html. Yes, here we are. Hello from Docker container. So we succeeded to set up an Nginx web server hosting our HTML file, running it on a remote Docker host. And yeah, I think with that, the second sample was successful. We are ready for our third and final sample, because now we can run static web files. Of course, we could now run multiple containers. We can start them in a fraction of a second. We can use Nginx, for instance, to set up some kind of load balancing, things like that. Very, very simple. All these things are so fast and so convenient with Docker, but this is not the core topic of my demo here. My next step will be stop the Nginx web server and run ASP.NET, real ASP.NET dynamic content based on Linux inside a container. Let's do that. But first we have to docker tlsps stop our container, docker tls kill this one. Okay, next example, ASP.NET inside of a Docker container. To enable ASP.NET inside the Docker container, we need an image, and for that we need, of course, a Docker file. Let's create a directory, hello ASP.NET, and there we need a Docker file. And of course this Docker file has to be based on something, and as you might know, the ASP.NET the K runtime is based on the Mono framework, so we need a base image for Mono, and from there we can install the ASP.NET runtime. But to be honest, I don't want to care about that. I just want an existing image on which I can build, and luckily there is one. Microsoft provides a ready-made image for ASP.NET, and let's look it up. ASP.NET. Here it is. You see the official ASP.NET Docker file. It's based, as I said, on Mono, and it sets up the entire K runtime, K virtual machine, and all the things that are necessary to run ASP.NET based on the Kestrel web server on the Linux in a Docker container. So that's great, because with that we don't have to care about installing Mono and installing K runtime and all this stuff. It's just there. The only thing that we need is we need to build our own environment on top of that. And I created a sample Docker file for you. It's here in the ASP.NET sample test image. See? Here you have the Docker file, and here a small script that we will use whenever the container comes up. It will do some things that I will show you in a second. So let's get these two files into our directory here. Let's pull them down, and let's pull down the Docker file first. Let's take this one and do a get this one. Here we are. And the second one is the refresh and run sample. Yeah, let's pull that one down too. Here we are, our Docker file and our script. Let's take a look at the Docker file. First thing that you might notice is our from clause. It's based on the ASP.NET base image, as you might already have expected. Then we have some environment variables and administrative things. I don't want to go into any details here. And then it creates a directory, copies our script into this directory. And last but not least, we need something to execute. And this sample is about, this recording is about Docker and Linux and things like that. So I'm not going to program any ASP.NET stuff. You can try that your own. I will just use the existing samples that Microsoft publishes together with ASP.NET Vnext. So we'll pull down these this Git repository here, the samples directory. And here in the samples directory, we have a directory which is called hello-mvc, and this MVC application is the one that we want to run inside of our Docker container. So you see, this script does a git init, it does a git pull, it goes to the Hello MVC folder and does an KPM restore, so it restores eventually missing packages. This is only preparing the image, and if the container is ran based on this image, it executes the refresh and run sample, and let's take a look at this one. Here we are. You see, it just refreshes the source code by again pulling the data from GitHub. It does again a KPM restore. Something might have changed, so there might be packages that we have to restore. And last but not least, it starts the Kestrel web server. It is the web server that we use for running ASP.NET on Linux. Sorry for the break. I have a little bit of cold, and therefore I need some breaks every now and then. So it starts the Kestrel web server, and hopefully, if everything goes right, we can then access the Kestrel web server via our Docker client. So let's try to build an image based on this Docker file. Again, Docker TLS, we'll use the build command here and tag it with ASP.NET and use the Docker file in the local directory. As you might expect, ASP.NET, the container, the base image, is not on our Docker daemon, so same game as before, it has to pull down the necessary base image from the internet. This will take a few minutes, so I will pause the recording and I will be right back after the base image for Microsoft ASP.NET will have been downloaded completely. Hi and welcome back. Docker has just completed creating our image for our ASP.NET sample, and next we can use this image. Let's show you how this looks like. Images. Here you see, we have the ASP.NET image just created. We can now use this ASP.NET image to start a container, and hopefully in this container we will see ASP.NET running under Linux. But to make this sample a bit more impressive, let's open port 80 on our Docker sample host to be able to use a web browser to watch our MVC sample. So I will add another endpoint here, because by default Docker is created, SSH is created, but not port 80. Let's open port 80. Let's call it HTTP 8080. And yeah, that's fine. The virtual machine endpoint is there, so we should be able to run it in the browser too if everything works. We'll see. So let's run a new Docker container, no problem. We want to daemonize, so it runs in the background. We need a TTY. We need a port mapping. Port 80 should be the public port, and the port that the Kestrel web server uses in the Microsoft official samples, it's 5004. I looked it up. It's in the config files. And how could we call it? We call it ASP.NET samples. This is the name of our container. So crossing fingers. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Here, of course, ASP.NET is the name of our image. Sorry. That's the name of the container. Yes. Now, PS. Okay, it's running. That looks good. Let's copy the container ID and take a look at the logs. Okay, that looks good too. As you can see, the packages were cached, so a starting container was only a question of seconds, and at the end we see the word started. That looks promising. So now let's do a curl HTTP and first use the internal IP address. Woohoo! It works! You see? ASP.NET and so on. That's our MVC application running inside the Linux container in our Docker host. But now let's be brave and try the external endpoint. It's Docker sample host.cloudapp.net. Woohoo! That works too! So, last but not least, let's start a browser here. and do a HTTP docker sample host cloudapp.net, and here we are. We have ASP.NET running under Linux in our Docker container, and this is exactly what I wanted to show you. I hope this short recording was interesting for you. If you want to replay the sample that I showed you, please take a look at my GitHub repository. You see, it's rstropic and docker vs 2015 intro. Here you also see a written documentation of the steps that I performed in the recording, and you can copy the statements from there and play with your own Docker environment. Make sure you have your Azure subscription ready, because Azure is definitely the greatest platform to get started with Docker. Last but not least, if you have any questions or if you need to contact me, please visit our website. It's www.timecockpit.com. Here, for instance, you find our blog where you can read a lot of things. If you want to take a look at our technology blog, it's at software-architects.com. Here it is. I write a lot of things there, and my colleagues too, about ASP.NET and web development and so on. I really hope you enjoyed this recording and you learned something new about Docker, ASP.NET, Azure, or Linux, or things like that. See you next time. I'm looking forward to the next video whenever I demonstrate some technology here. So have a nice day and look forward to hear from you. Bye.